by the and the right of the biological parent. And yet the court, in case after case, is unable to hear the evidence. There is no way the stepmother can come into court and present her case. There is no known way that the long-term foster parent or the relative. We were caught by surprise believing that there was no opposition to the bill, and so we did not bring many witnesses, but we do have one or two families here. The hearing in House Judiciary was much more formal. The point of the amended version of this bill is simply that it took out all reference or avoided all temptation to tell the court what it does with the evidence after it gets it. This has nothing to do with the substantive law. This is entirely the need of the courts, and Judge Norvlad particularly was very strong in his testimony, the need of the court to hear all sides. Now, the bill did pass House Judiciary unanimously and House Floor 57-0. Nevertheless, Children's Services has had some second thoughts, and we are willing to accommodate them because we realize they have experience in this beyond anyone. I will let Mr. Armas explain that, but the basic position is that this is a procedural act in order to make it possible for the courts to fulfill their mandate. And the only real objection that was brought up before, and it's a real one, was that this might gum up the works by allowing a lot of interveners in the case. However, pretty wide checking with the juvenile and domestic relations courts came to the conclusion that this was not going to be true. In these heartrending cases where, for instance, a stepmother has raised a child for 12 years and then her husband dies, for example, and she has no standing in court to go in and ask to continue the relationship. The desperate efforts of the mother or stepmother to get into court end up enriching the lawyers with motions and petitions and all the rest, which eat up a lot of court time. There's a more ominous side to it. The child who, by reason of the fact that the court could not hear all the evidence, goes to the wrong place, and we do have a family here of Mrs. Darger who will explain the terrible results thereof. The child who is placed in the wrong home ends up before the court again a year or so later as a runaway or a delinquent.
Well, so that mother could adopt the child.
Pardon?
A stepmother in your situation could adopt the child.
Normally she cannot.
Why not?
Normally she has to get in line with everybody else. It's a long, slow process. In the interim, very often, this bond is disrupted and the child is moved somewhere else. You change the case just a little bit to accommodate the case actually here ready to testify. It was a divorce after 12 years of marriage, I believe. This procedural amendment applies both to domestic relations and juvenile court. At this moment, I would like to yield to Mr. Armas, who would explain the CSD's concerns and the amendments we would propose to accommodate them.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Jess Armas. I'm Assistant Minister of Children's Services Division. We have no problem with the bill if it only applied to domestic relations. When it applies to, except for the adoptions part of it, when it applies to other parts, we do have. But our primary concern is with adoptions, that when a child is placed in adoption and that family is fully expecting, and also the child is fully expecting to stay into that home, that this would open a process by which individuals could come in and try to substantiate they should have the child. Now, talking about generally cases where we've already gone through the process of looking for anyone that's had a meaningful relationship with a child. Our primary purpose is to try to put them with what is called a psychological parent anyway. And in 33% of the cases, they are foster or relative adopt placements. What we want to be sure is that we don't have a succession of individuals coming in and intervening in the process. The other thing that we have concerns about is just the whole adoption process. If we open it up to where an adoptive family never knows until it is finalized, which we don't finalize an adoption generally until 6 months to a year later, and in some cases where we have only a partially free child, that is, only one parent has either through court action or others reasons we've been given the termination so that we can proceed for adoption, we will oftentimes place in a family, a foster family, which we call a foster adopt family, saying, we intend to go ahead with adoption with you. We want you to bond the child. We're not sure how long it's going to take for any of the other termination to take place, and we will proceed with you. That sometimes takes considerable length of time. So what we're concerned about is in the adoption process in particular, and this is what Father Phillips has mentioned, we will take adoption out of the bill so that it has no reference to adoption. That would satisfy a number of our concerns regarding the bill. The other part is the definition of who that psychological parent is. Coming right out of the research that was done, there will be a new section added, and I don't know the exact wording, but there will be a section 4 added, which is not on here, that further defines that that's a 2-year continuous relationship where they've received the emotional support and also the physical caring, so that it isn't just somebody that can walk in and say, I've had a 2-year relationship with a child that's been meaningful, the child wants to live with me, or the child, I know the child and been around for 2 years. This further defines it so that it makes sure that we're really talking about people who have had more than just a meaning in the child's life, have actually functioned as the child's parent, and that would be very disruptive to the child not to have that relationship at least considered, but more important, to have it continued. So those are two things that take care of a lot of the concerns that we have about the bill.
Mike Greenfield from the juvenile court must be a slow typist. He ran down the hall, but he has the book. But we would take the definition of parent-child relationship right out of Solnitz and Freud, which says essentially that there's been a continuous relationship which involves day-to-day contact, psychological nurturing, and supplying the child's physical needs. This would avoid some aunt or uncle who perhaps only had the child at Christmas and Easter or weekends from coming in. We are all of us interested in keeping the court process simple and not too many interveners. But there are tragic cases right now, very tragic cases, where the child's best interest is not served because the court can't hear the evidence.
Well, does anyone perceive that this bill in its amended form would actually preclude the step-parent from petitioning for adoption of the child?
It would not preclude the petition in due form. Again, we are not talking here substantive law. Insofar as the substantive law stands, anyone can petition for adoption. That would not change. We are only here talking about the placement of a child, which has to change right now.
Yeah. Okay. I think I've got it. Any questions, counsel?
No.
All right. Thank you. Now,
one thing I should add, Mr. Chairman, we haven't done a fiscal impact on this, and I don't know if there will be one on it, but...
Mr. Chairman, if I may add to that, I don't know how formal he means by fiscal impact, but Jess just got into this bill very recently. The original documents filed with the House have a statement on them from CSD that the fiscal impact is unknown and probably will be neutral.
Okay. Now, I guess Mr. Armas's appearance takes care of Herb Hansen and Jim Wheeler. Does it?
Senator, almost.
Almost?
I want to.
Okay. Maybe you don't agree with CSD, so you better come up now.
Okay. I'm Herb Hansen from Portland. I'm Director of Professional Services at Albertina Kerr Centers for Children.
And I'm Jim Wheeler, and I'm Associate State Director with Boys and Girls Aid Society.
And basically, we do agree with CSD. There may be some areas here that may or may not be resolved by this thing because we haven't seen it and don't know really what it's going to say. We were concerned about three things. One of them is that generally the adoption proceedings, as Mr. Armas said, in a situation occur some way down the line from the time the decision is made for the child to be placed in the family. And as the bill was originally written, it looked as though the adoption proceedings were a good point of intervention, and it would be hard to give the family the security, it would seem, that they often need, particularly in the placement of older kids, but also in the placement of newborn children. So if adoption is in some way excluded from this process, we would certainly give it strong support. Another aspect is the question of visitation, as it was written here. We didn't really understand whether that could extend to a mandatory program of visiting on the part of other people in an adoptive situation. We feel that this is very, very difficult. There is a movement in the community to promote what is called open adoption. There are people active in Eugene and elsewhere about it, in which the birth parents do maintain a contact with the adoptive parents. But in our experience, that's a very new thing that has been tested, and it would tend, we feel, to kind of chill the potential involvement of the adoptive family, or perhaps their willingness to take the child if a mandatory visitation program were established by this law. The other aspect that concerned us was that it wasn't clear in the material here whether or not the existence of a two-year relationship, or as it may be redefined, was the only status that would give a person the right to intervene. And what we see sometimes is after careful work with a young mother who is about to give birth, she may make a decision to relinquish a